Welcome to Season 3 of Skills Recharged, hosted by professional development strategist Michelle Beatty on the Career Tipper podcast. The Skills Recharged conversation continues with industry experts, adding their voice and sharing their professional development tips and resources to potentially help professionals to keep their skills recharged, competitive, and hire ready. And now your host, Michelle Beatty.
Welcome back to Season 3 of Skills Recharged. I'm your host, Michelle Beatty, Professional Development Strategist. During Episode 2, the conversation continues with Clinical Professional Counselor and Certified Career Coach, Caitlin Magidson. Caitlin, welcome to the Career Tipper Podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to talk today.
I'm so excited to have you here too. Please tell the listeners about yourself and what you do with your work.
Yeah, sure. Well, so thanks for the introduction. Yeah, I'm a licensed clinical professional counselor, which means that I do one-on-one therapy with individuals. I have a master's in mental health counseling from Johns Hopkins University. I'm also a certified career coach, so I also help people who are going through career changes or even maybe who have gotten a new role in a leadership position and they're wanting to better understand themselves and how they can be a better leader and show up. So in my private practice, I provide individual therapy, individual career and executive coaching. I run some groups. I'm doing a lot of my work online this year. So it's a good field to be in. It's really rewarding. And I really love the clients I get to work with.
It's very clear you enjoy what you do in your posts and just in your video clips. You're very sincere.
Yeah.
Very sincere about what you do, for sure.
Yeah.
So during this episode, I'm really excited that you're going to share your insight into overcoming career grief, which is something that so many people are battling with, and tips to develop and practice the mental wellness that will help professionals keep their skills recharged, competitive, and hired ready. Because I'm all about this season keeping your stride. And I definitely think mental well-being is a skill that it's a skill and that it definitely needs help being developed. So I'm really excited for you to share your journey about how you got to this point of combining psychotherapy and career coaching services with your clients. Will you please share with us that?
Yeah, sure. Well, yeah, I love learning about psychology, mental health, like what's happening in our internal world. So I think, I mean, I am a human being just like everyone else. And so I think understanding myself and understanding my strengths, my interests, my values, my preferences when it comes to the world of work has brought a lot of joy and satisfaction for me, kind of knowing myself and then being able to grow myself professionally. And mental health, we all have a brain, right? And our brain is connected to our thoughts, our feelings, our behaviors. So for me, it's been really interesting to just understand how people work and sometimes how we get stuck because of our past and how we can be more self-aware to regulate our emotions so we can feel better in relationship with ourselves and with others. So I'm just really interested in mental health in general, and that's why I studied mental health. And then I love all things career development. So it's kind of a sweet spot to merge these two worlds because we show up, you know, at work in our relationships. So I think it's important to find a sense of self in the world. So I love learning about that and helping others through their journey.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, everyone reacts differently to situations. And I know the pandemic has been most likely the most stressful experience for so many throughout their career. So what would you say to a listener that maybe on the fence about adding therapy to their wellness plan? They might like, I got this, I'm strong, or they might feel prideful, too prideful, or, oh, that's not for me. I mean, I'm sure you've heard everything. So what's your insight on that?
Sure. Well, I think mental health is, you know, there has been a lot of stigma around mental health. What does that mean? But I think especially with the pandemic, I think that it's kind of normalized the reality that we all do have mental health and that there are stressors in our lives that affect how we feel and how we show up. So I feel like it's kind of been an equalizer in some ways because everyone's been able to say, hey, things are hard. I think a lot of times we try to show up and look like everything's just fine. And the reality is that life sometimes is hard. So I think I just forgot the beginning part of your question. You were asking about why it's so important to know about mental health. Is that right?
Yeah. And just like, if someone's on the fence, how can they get off the fence?
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well,
I think sometimes people think that therapy is what you do when you're in crisis only. And people might say, well, I have a lot of things going for me. I've got a job. I have a relationship. But you don't have to go to therapy when you're in crisis. You can go to therapy when you're trying to make a big decision in your life. Maybe you're trying to become more self-aware. Maybe you want a safe kind of sounding board, third party space to talk about some of your goals, or maybe manage some symptoms of anxiety or depression. So you don't have to be in crisis to invest in yourself and talk things through.
I totally agree. I go to therapy, and I wish I started before I started going. I went pre-pandemic, so I was already on the bandwagon, but it was a definite positive game changer for me. And I definitely believe that I definitely had stigmatized thoughts about it. So, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to have a conversation with you, because I think it's important. And I just want to talk a little bit more about privacy and stigmatized concerns that people may have, and why some are open to having a therapist and a counselor. And then I know, like, for those that have the privacy and stigmatized concerns, some are going more with the robotic aspect of it, like through artificial intelligence. And I would love for you to share more insight so the listeners, those that may already know or may not know, can be more familiar with their options of therapy, because therapy, I'm learning, is in all different capacities. Mm-hmm. So would you please share like a few mythbusters and how artificial intelligence is helping to improve mental well-being in the workplace?
Sure. So I just work with people one-on-one. I've done that in person. I'm doing that remotely, doing telehealth sessions. There are platforms that allow people to text with a therapist, to chat in those ways. I really believe that therapy, a lot of the work is in the relationship that you build with the therapist, having that connection and being able to have a conversation with a person. So I think you'll find therapists who have different thoughts on using technology and the best ways to do that. I personally don't really love the idea of texting because I don't think that's how you can really have a relationship with anyone. I think you have to be in person or talk with someone voice to voice and get body language. There's a lot that can be misconstrued. That being said, others maybe find that it's helpful. I think it's important to make sure that if you're working with a therapist, that they're using a HIPAA compliant telehealth platform so that it is confidential. If they haven't purchased like the Zoom that is confidential, it may not be confidential or GoToMeeting. So I think that's something that's important to keep in mind. Mm-hmm. I was doing a little bit of reading before our conversation, and there are a lot of apps and AI enabled technology that you can wear that can also give you feedback. So maybe that's not necessarily therapy, but I was reading about something called Cognito. It's a Boston-based software company, and they've built a platform where they can listen in on a customer service conversation and identify stressed customer service agents. Really? There's something else called Effectiva, and they have an AI-driven application for ride-sharing services, and their tool analyzes drivers' facial expressions for signs of burnout and can send messages to the driver on ways to lower their stress levels. I think there are wristbands out there where the AI sensors, they track stress through the skin. There's something called Mood Tracker where it can kind of check in on what are your thoughts at the moment, what are your thoughts and feelings, and then help the user think about more positive thoughts and if they want to shift into another mood. So there's a lot of technology that's emerging, which I think is really helpful if it helps someone kind of slow down and check in with themselves. What are they thinking? What are they feeling? So that they can reflect and make better, healthier decisions for themselves and those around them. I think that's really wonderful. I do think that ultimately having a relationship with someone voice to voice is probably, in my opinion, more of a change agent than maybe just texting with someone or a chat bot that, you know, isn't a person. So I know that technology is emerging even faster than I can even keep up with it. So I'm sure there's more people could research about it. It's fascinating.
I like the one-on-one. Mm-hmm. It's been very insightful, and I always walk away with food for thought. Mm-hmm. It's been good. So yeah, I like to zone in a bit more on career grief and what are examples of career grief. Many are suffering from career grief and they may not even be aware of it. So could you share some of that?
Yeah. Well, I think, so when we think about grief, sometimes we might think of like the loss of a loved one or, you know, we think about death. Grief is any type of loss that we experience. So certainly during the pandemic, there's been a lot of change and loss, whether that's been the death of maybe a colleague or a loved one. Maybe, you know, there have been changes in your department. Maybe you wanted to get a promotion and that opportunity is no longer there. There can be a sense of loss or even ambiguous loss if there was something that you wanted and it's no longer available to you. Some goal that you've had and you don't have that option, there can be a sense of loss. So grief is a process. Sometimes we first hear news maybe that, you know, our manager is resigning and we're going to lose someone who's been a mentor or a friend to us. And there can be kind of different phases of grief, whether it's shock and denial that that's even happening, to feelings of anger that that loss has happened, sadness or feelings of depression that that's happened. Maybe even bargaining. Why did that happen? What could I have done to prevent this change from happening? At some point, a place of acceptance. So, you know, I guess a loss could be, you know, you're applying for a job that you really want and you don't get it. So kind of grieving that loss, you know, you didn't have it, but you had maybe even started to think about what it would look like or feel like. So a lot of people have lost their jobs during the pandemic because their companies went under. So, you know, I think it's hard. It's a lot to process. Loss is part of life and change can be difficult. I think normalizing it and allowing yourself to feel those feelings, give yourself permission and space to grieve losses is really important and healthy so that you can move into a place of acceptance and move forward.
I think one of my biggest awareness about career grief is that it's nothing that you have to hide. Cause I think sometimes people unintentionally hide it. Like, I don't want to talk about hiding from a standpoint of not talking about it, but you can talk about it. And workplace trauma is real. Mm-hmm. And it's all together. Not saying that everyone encounters it every day, but sometimes it could be something that you encounter and you don't even realize it's going on in your world. So mm-hmm. It's been a real aha moment. And I always try to talk to other professionals about it. And it's always interesting to hear their feedback on what career grief is for them. That's why I wanted you to talk about it, because I know it resonated with me so much. It might just resonate with someone else that haven't possibly made the connection. So thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. So will you please share insight on how emotional intelligence, EQ, because you are an EQ expert, impacts our mental wellness and how it can help professionals gauge their communication intentionally with others by effectively using emotional intelligence?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think we hear the terms IQ, intellectual quotient, and EQ. I think that emotional intelligence, EQ, is probably more important than even IQ, because companies can teach skills, IQ, but being able to teach self-awareness, ability to regulate your emotions, empathize with others, these social skills are really so important in the workplace. So emotional intelligence is really about the capacity to be aware of and control and express your own emotions and to handle interpersonal relationships in appropriate, productive ways. So it's a real skill if you're able to identify, what am I experiencing inside myself right now? Am I feeling anxious? Am I feeling angry? And then being able to share and communicate with others so that you can take care of yourself and others. So, you know, for example, if I'm feeling really stressed because I have an upcoming presentation, I'm feeling very nervous and agitated, and I know that, I might tell my coworker, you know what, I'm feeling really stressed right now. I'm going to go for a walk to kind of calm my nerves before the meeting. So I'm able to understand what's happening and I can communicate my needs. But if I'm experiencing a lot of anxiety and I don't even know it, and then my coworker asks me, could you help me on a project? And I just lash out and I don't even almost know why I'm lashing out. That's not going to be very helpful or productive in the workplace. So being able to kind of take a step back and say, what's happening inside of me? What are my needs? And to address them so that I can show up and behave in appropriate, productive ways is a skill, right? And so I think that's huge. And I think employers are definitely looking for that in future hires.
I have a question about introverts. So what if someone's an introvert and they struggle with being heard, speaking up in meetings? They might have great ideas, but it could be just wanting to make sure their opinion is heard, their perspective is heard, and they're constantly overtalked by someone else. How could someone in that situation handle that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it might be appropriate maybe after a meeting to have a separate conversation with that individual. If there is somebody specifically who's, you know, cutting you off or talking over you, you may just share that, you know, I wasn't feeling very heard in our meeting today, and I'd like to share a couple of talking points in our next meeting. You know, could you support me in that? Or, you know, to name it. Because if you hold on to it, that builds resentment and you don't, you know, meet your goals. So whether you're an extrovert or introvert, you can be extremely emotionally intelligent. Even for extroverts, it sometimes can be hard to express, you know, their feelings or needs. So I think it's really about the skill of identifying what's happening in you and sharing what you need, no matter your preference for extroversion or introversion.
I'm so happy that you shared that, because I think of that, about that perspective for leaders who have like a team, and they might not feel like they can go to someone to have a conversation, and they might not feel comfortable talking to their spouse because it might not be a right fit at that time for whatever reason. How could they navigate that sentiment without, like you said, eventually turning into like a teapot and lashing out at someone? How could they process that?
Yeah, I think it takes a lot of courage to share yourself, to be seen, to say, this is what was happening for me in this meeting. You may say, well, I've worked with people say, well, I don't want to ruffle any feathers, but you end up not feeling peaceful inside yourself, right? There's a cost when you hold back for what you need. If you need a vacation, you know, you need some time to process something, whatever it might be. If you don't voice your needs and your experience, then ultimately it's going to take a toll on your own mental health and internal kind of well-being.
I love it. Fight for your peace.
Yes.
Indeed. Caitlin, what are a few of your favorite productivity tools? Because I'm sure everyone's always, I know I am, always trying to make sure I'm productive as possible. And I'm always like, what are some of your productivity tips? So what are some tools that you use to keep yourself productive?
Yeah. Oh, goodness. I'm sure there are so many out there. I'm thinking about like automation, like what makes it easier, because I'm always getting so many emails. So I really like the feature on my website, my contact page, Calendly. It's very helpful. You know, if somebody wants to schedule a consultation appointment with me, it's definitely cut down on kind of the back and forth scheduling. I use a journaling I don't know if it's an app, it's called Day One. And that's really helpful to kind of help me reflect. I type my journal versus writing. I can't really read my handwriting very well. So it's helpful for me to kind of reflect on goals and things that I'm thinking about. So I think it's also important to find periods of time where I can do deep work. I find often that whether it's social media or whatever is going on my phone, it's very easy to get distracted. And I think research shows that it takes at least 15 minutes to get really focused on what you're working on. So if I, you know, can put my phone somewhere else or make sure I don't have distractions, that helps me be a lot more productive, even though there's a lot of fun stuff going on with news and fun, you know, things that I can look at, but it can be distracting and take away from really productive work times.
I got you. Well, thank you for sharing that. Now, what is the most or cherished professional development that you have received?
Mm-hmm. Gosh, I've been so fortunate to have received a lot of great training from a lot of wonderful people. Honestly, I think investing in my own experiences in therapy and coaching have been just so wonderful. And have built me as a therapist and coach. So I think it's a best practice for therapists and coaches, as you said, to have their own, have the experience as the client, because we're humans. So as I've developed myself and grown myself, I not only learn new skills from the person who is working with me, but I gain new insight into myself. You know, who am I? What are my triggers? What's holding me back? And that has been an invaluable experience in my personal and professional journey.
I couldn't agree with you more. Having gone through it, going through it, it's a game changer. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. So what is your most prized career lesson learned that has contributed to your commitment to keeping your skills recharged? Because you are a student of your work. There's no question about it. If anyone follows you, which I encourage the listeners to do, you are on it. So what are the most prized lessons? Because I know you have them. So what are your lessons learned? Just like one or two.
Yeah. I think, again, like in investing in yourself is ultimately investing in your business, in your work, in your clients. So oftentimes I think it's easy to say, oh, maybe I don't have time for that, whether it's a vacation or a course or a conference. But every time I do, every time I invest in myself, the return on investment is always multiplied. So I try to keep that in mind when I'm thinking about, you know, going to a conference or, you know, even reading a book. Every time I invest in myself, it's really investing in everyone else around me too.
For sure. For sure. Caitlin, please share with the listeners how they can get in touch with you, how they can work with you and follow you. Just share all your details.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. So someone can get to know me better on my website, www.caitlinmagotson.com. I'm sure you'll put it in the notes. I'm also active on Instagram and LinkedIn. So feel free to follow me there. And if somebody wants to talk about maybe working together, I also provide a free consultation call on my contact page. You can sign up for one and we can talk more.
For sure. And you can find me, Michelle Beatty, at careertipper.com or skillsrecharge.com. Please listen to the podcast on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share with fellow goal getters and leave a 5-star review on iTunes. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Career Tipper Podcast. Connect with Michelle and continue the conversation with her on social media at Career Tipper. Until next time, keep your stride and your skills recharged.